Hey guys, I'm Lizzie Raven.
And I'm Judy Swartz.
And welcome
to Why We Left.
Slay.
Good morning, guys. It's us back on Why We Left.
Some exciting stuff happened this week.
Yes. Guess who got baptized on that?
Me.
It was Lizzie. Me. And it was so fun.
It was great.
It was one of my favorite baptisms that I've ever been to.
It was raining so hard.
It was pouring rain.
Some people told me that I shouldn't get into the water because it was about to storm. But I said...
It wasn't storming, though. It was just raining.
But it did thunder a couple times.
I must have missed it.
Oh, she missed it. Anyways, but, you know.
It was more of a group baptism, really.
Yeah, it was just
We all got just as soaked as you.
Yeah, honestly, it was probably the best day of my life.
Right?
Yeah.
And I loved how small and personal it was. Yeah, how you just did what you wanted to do, which was keep it small and personal.
Yeah, it was very special. And then Phil got to dunk me. Well, that was a crazy experience because Phil was supposed to dunk me under, and then I don't think Mark got the memo. So Mark is like, here we go! Anyways, it was great.
It was a group effort. Yeah. You know, they both did.
I thought I couldn't have asked for better, honestly. It was great.
That's awesome.
Loved it. Anyways, did you do anything fun this week?
I went to your baptism.
Oh, and you had a friend over, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. One of my friends came to visit me from South Carolina, and it was so fun.
Isn't that where Theo Vaughn is from?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I don't know where he lives.
Well, that would be iconic if he was from South Carolina.
I mean, yes. He is an icon.
Yeah, he really is.
So no matter where he comes from, it's iconic.
True that. Even if it's Indiana.
I suppose.
Judy has so much beef with Indiana.
I have so much beef with Indiana.
It's crazy. So today, we're talking about...
Depression.
This is great.
Trigger warning here. This entire episode contains talk of extreme depression, suicide attempts, and self-harm.
Anyways, so today I wanted to talk a little bit about my journey through depression because I thought some people might find it relatable. And, you know, I want my story to help other people. I want some good to come out of it, you know?
I'm sure it will, for sure. Okay. So tell me more about that journey. Like when
did it start? Well, I was born on August 15th. 2001, and that's really when it began.
not that like just coming out the womb and being depressed. That's great. Like, honestly, relatable.
Okay, obviously, you know, I don't know if I was born depressed, but
right. Probably. Yeah.
Because as long as I can remember, like growing up, I was just this depressed little girl who thought that no one loved her. Well, she was also partly right.
I love you. Sadly enough. In my heart, I loved you.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I was just really depressed. I didn't know what it was at the time. I didn't know that depression was a thing. I thought I was just sad all the time. And I always felt so incredibly lonely. Like, I never really had any friends growing up. Like, I had a few friends here and there, but no, like, close friends. Until I moved here to... Until I moved here to Tennessee when I was 18. That's when I really started, like, finding friends.
Did you... Oh, and I think you told me a while back, like, growing up, you had just a lot of different people coming in your life and then leaving, right?
Because my parents worked for this organization, this, like, mission, and they always had people. They would come, they would be there for, like, a year, and then they would leave, and some of them were nice. You know, obviously, they were all much older than me, so they didn't really want to be friends with a little teenager, you know?
Did they know what they were missing out on or not?
Obviously not.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have jumped on that opportunity.
They're not elite employees.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
But yeah, like I said, I didn't really know what depression was or that I was depressed. I was just really sad all the time. And depression can also really affect your memory. So I would love to say more how I was depressed as a child and like give some examples, but I can't remember any of them because I was depressed. So here we are.
Right.
The first person that I really told about it was my sister, Regina. Once I moved here to Tennessee, things got a lot better and I was really happy for a while. And then about a year after I left, I started just kind of spiraling downward again. And this time I started realizing what it was, that there was a name for this, and that if I kept trying to deal with it by myself, eventually it was going to kill me. because, like, most of my life, I didn't really want to be alive. And especially at that point, like, that's when I started getting really bad. And every single day I would wake up and my first thought would be like, why? Why did I wake up, you know?
Put me back to sleep.
Yes. Can I please just go back to sleep and just take the long nap?
The eternal nap.
The eternal nap. That's what I wanted. But yeah, I think it was, I was what you call a very high functioning depressed person.
Okay.
So nobody around me knew how bad it was and that I just desperately wanted to die all the time. And being around people was one of the few things that helped me, like made me feel happier. So I was trying to be around people like as much as possible, you know, mm-hmm. that way I wouldn't do anything. But yeah, I told my sister Regina about it. That was the very first time I ever told anybody that I was depressed. Kind of the first time I even admitted it to myself, really. Yeah, I went and talked to her about it, and I was like, dude, I'm telling you because I can no longer handle this by myself. Like, if I keep trying to carry this by myself, I'm gonna kill myself. Man. That's...
Well, it's a lot for...
Right? Living is a lot.
Yeah, it's true. But, yeah, and then all the other stuff on top of that. Like, you had a lot going on. Yeah. I'm sorry you had to go through that, Jenny.
Well, you know, it's fine because it's over now. Yeah. And like I said, I'm hoping my story can help other people find some healing. But yeah, I talked to Gina about it and she was like, girl, you need therapy.
Yeah.
Because that's how Gina sounds. Right. Totally. Yeah.
Of course.
Gina would never say that in her life. But she did encourage me to find a therapist. And I was like, I mean, if that's what I gotta do, let's go, you know? Because she was like, you know, you need to figure out, like, what's causing your depression. And that way you can find a way to heal and find a way to get rid of it, you know? Yeah, thank goodness for Gina. But I found myself a therapist in Nashville, 2 hours away. And I started driving up to Nashville every other week for therapy.
Goodness.
Yeah, it was a lot of driving. But it was, I don't know, it was kind of a vibe. You have this like intense therapy session and then you go home and you have a couple hours to just collect your thoughts while you're driving, you know?
Yes. Also, therapy is like one of the most exhausting things in this world. It's like...
Right. Get out of a therapy session. You just want to sleep.
Yeah.
For days.
So is therapy kind of what pulled you out of that?
I mean, at the end of the day, like the short explanation is that it was God. God led me through every bit of it. But it started, my healing journey definitely started with, well, number one, opening up and like talking to a couple people, like my sisters, Regina and Ruby, like telling them how bad it was, and then going to therapy. Like that's when it really started. Yeah, depression is just, for me, it just felt like this dark, heavy cloud that was just over me all the time and just taking over my life. And I genuinely just hated myself. Hated everything about myself, you know, spend hours just sitting and thinking about what a piece of shit I was and how I deserved nothing good from life. And it was so, you know, for a lot of people, they're like, well, I can't kill myself because there's people that would miss me. But I genuinely believed that nobody would miss me. I was like, yeah, and I could kill myself and nobody would miss me. So like, why am I still here? But I firmly believed that if I killed myself, I would go to hell. And that's mostly what kept me back. I mean, sidebar, I don't really believe that anymore. But at the time, that kept me alive. So I'm grateful for it. I guess I'm trying to explain a little bit how dark everything was and like what a dark and hopeless space I was in. Because I mean, there's people out there that have felt the same thing, I'm sure.
And are feeling the same thing right now.
Yeah. But then there's also people who are trying to help them and they don't really understand how heavy and how dark and how alone you feel. It's crazy.
Well, it's obvious that God had something so big for you to do.
You know, that's true.
Man, I can't imagine a world without my Judith, okay? I can't. That makes me sick.
Well, I'm glad that you don't have to experience it.
Goodness, okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm just dropping all this on you.
No. Man, it makes me so sad because...
Right?
No one should ever have to feel like that.
Right?
But...
Right? But, like, I just want to help everybody who feels like that now because I know what it's like to have zero hope. I couldn't even, when I was in that space, I couldn't even look too far ahead. because I would just get so overwhelmed. So I literally had to take one day at a time. I would wake up in the morning and I would be like, okay, I gotta get through today. And that's it. And once I got through the day and went to bed, I would be like, okay, well, wake up again and just do it over. Be like, I just have to get through today. Yeah. Literally just a day at a time.
It's so you said that when you were feeling like this, you tried to hang out with people a lot.
Yes, because that was the one thing that made me feel better.
Yeah. So, because a lot of people will isolate themselves when they are depressed. Mm-hmm. So that's something right there that I find interesting, because I genuinely believe that some of the happiest people are the most depressed.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like some of the people that look the happiest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, because depression doesn't... So many people try to put a label on what depression looks like.
Right.
And it's not.
It's different for everybody.
Yeah, literally. And also, I believe that everyone has some form of depression. Like,
everybody has periods in their life where they are depressed.
Right, but not like that level.
Mine was like clinical depression. But yeah, everybody can relate to being depressed. Right. Like everybody's been depressed at some point in their life. But yeah, I also remember like when I first started talking about how depressed I was, there was like one or two people that it genuinely like scared them. Like they did not want me to talk about it, which was like,
what?
Yeah, which is like fine. I kind of understand, but also at the time for me, it was like, okay, well, I guess I just won't talk about this with anybody then.
How is that your first reaction when somebody tells you they're depressed and they're the level of depressed they are and saying and being like I don't really.
Well, I think it was hard for people to understand how bad I was because I acted so happy.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was around other people, I acted very happy because I was. When I was with other people, it was fine. I could leave all of my depressing self behind for a second, you know?
Yeah. I find that I was never that level of depressed.
Right.
But I was depressed for a minute. And I found that once I started talking about it, it made it seem less big and scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it can be so hard to talk about it. Because it's scary. Okay. To be vulnerable enough to just let people see, like, all of you. It's so scary to tell somebody I'm not doing good.
Right.
Like, because nobody wants to hear that.
Right.
Everybody wants to, like, they want to hear about how well your life is doing and just, like, so it's, I understand it's, like, so scary to talk about it, but, yeah, just, I encourage everyone who is going through, just find somebody you can talk to and just share that, because, like, once you put words to it.
It loses some of its power.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It does, so.
I'm glad that's what happened for you, too.
Yeah.
It's just good to talk about stuff. I don't think humans were made to hide all of their feelings.
To bottle it up.
Yeah, that's not how we were created. God created us as human beings with deep emotions and feelings to share with the world, you know?
I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, one example of how opening up can and talking to people can really save your life. The closest I ever came to actually, like, ending it all and ending my own life. It was after I moved to Tennessee. I'd been living here, like, a year or so, and I was on the phone with my dad for a while. And I got off the phone, and that's when it really hit me that, like, my dad does not love me. Like, he's not capable of it. And it hit me pretty hard, you know? I was devastated. Like, that night, my heart literally just broke. Just shattered. I'm sure you can relate. I feel like there's a lot of people that have had their hearts just broken. And you can feel it physically.
Sure, you can.
Your whole body just hurts. It's a very physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Just anguish.
It's just crushing, yeah.
Yeah, crushing anguish. But yeah, so I went for a little drive. And I parked on top of a hill. There was this cute little church house. And I parked in the parking lot. And I was just sitting there. Just my heart was broken. I was just sobbing. And I just wanted so badly for it all to be over. And for me to just be dead. You know? And I was sitting there just literally with a knife in my hand. I don't know how to describe it. It was such a weird feeling. It was like everything in my mind was telling me to take that knife and end my own life. Everything in me wanted it. But my body wouldn't quite do it. Like, my body was telling me, no, you have to stop. Don't do this. But everything in my mind just wanted to be done. And so, yeah, I was like, okay, well, I need some help here. So I actually called Micah, and because he was one person that I knew wouldn't be like freak out and get really scared and be like, what are you doing? I was saying earlier, I had talked to some people that were like scared by my depression. We're like, we don't really want to hear about this. And he was one person that I knew would not have that reaction. So I called him and I don't know, we just kind of talked about how he went to the dentist that day and how it sucked and how, and I told him about my phone call with my dad and he was so sweet. And he was like, yeah. That's crazy, man. Anyway, and it just kind of brought me back to earth a little bit. And I was like, okay, like, I think I'm good now. I'm strong enough. I felt strong enough to keep on living, you know?
That is an insane story. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And then at the end of the call, Michael was like, you have to promise me that you're not going to hurt yourself. I was like, I'm not going to, man. Like, I'm good now.
Mike is a G for that.
Dude, right?
It's so crazy how one conversation can take you away from all of that. That was heavy. I'm so proud of you, Judy.
And thank goodness for Micah, you know?
Yeah, really.
God really used him right there.
But I don't believe that it was just Micah.
Oh, yeah. God was watching out for me.
And also, it was you too.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody, well, I mean, except for God, can convince you. Well, a conversation does help, and yeah. I believe that.
But yeah, that was a moment where I recognized that I need help.
Yeah.
Like, in this moment, I'm not strong enough to withstand this, and I need somebody to talk to.
And that realization came from you.
Yeah, and it saved my life.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of you for that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Me too.
But yeah, hopefully all that gives you an idea of like how bad it was and how much I did not want to live. It was, man, it was taking over my life. But anyways, so I started therapy and that helped. Like, it got to the point where I could live like a week at a time instead of just taking one day at a time.
What?
You
That's
know?
Impressive.
We worked through a lot of stuff like in my childhood and trying to figure out where this depression was coming from, you know? And yeah, it helped a lot. But I'd been doing therapy for maybe 6 months, a year. I can't quite remember how long. Like, it wasn't fully gone.
Yeah.
And I had gotten to the point where I was like, well, I don't think that I'm ever going to be fully rid of this depression, but I do think that I can live the rest of my life now and not be suicidal every single day. I thought I was just going to have to live with it the rest of my life. I wasn't sure what else to do, you know? But then I got invited to California for this little, like, girls' retreat in San Francisco. And I went and, you know, thank the Lord for that invite. My goodness, God really used some people. But we had this little girls retreat in San Francisco. There was, I don't even know, maybe like 10 of us there, something like that.
Yeah.
And we were just hanging out for a week. Like, we did so much praying together and just talking. But again, just so much praying together, which was amazing. One girl would be really telling us about something she was struggling with, and we would all gather around her and just pray for her. And there was a lot of healing for a lot of girls that week. But yeah, at one point, I think it was one of the last nights we were there, we're all sitting upstairs, and I knew I wanted prayer from these girls for something. I wasn't quite sure what, but I just kind of broke down and was like, I need help, you know? And they started praying for me. And then one of the girls, she got this word from God and was like, hey, I think I just got this like feeling that we should pray over you for freedom from generational depression. I hadn't actually talked to any of these girls about how depressed I was and how this was a thing that I was going through. So that was...
That's insane.
She said that and I was like, okay, that's from God, because she didn't really have any way of knowing. But so they did. Like, these girls started praying. I don't know if they want me to say their names, so I'm not going to, but like, there was a couple girls that just started praying over me. And yeah, they prayed for a little bit and then they stopped. And the one lady was like, hey, do you feel any different or anything? And I was like, I mean, not really. And she was like, okay. And she just started praying again. And she was praying her heart out, my goodness. And I felt it. I felt it just lift. And it's been gone. Ever since that day, I've been completely free from that oppressive weight of depression, you know? There's times when I get a little sad, sure, that's life. But God, in that moment, God completely took all that depression away. Miracle of all miracles.
That is, thank the Lord for people like that.
Dude, right? To me, it's the equivalent of being healed of brain cancer or something. Like, it was a sickness that was taking over my mind and might have killed me eventually.
And the way he just healed that, that's...
Yes.
And that's generational trauma on top of everything else. You broke a pattern. I'm so proud of you for that. Imagine if he just hadn't went to that girl's retreat like that.
Dude, right?
Man.
I know, I'm still not sure, like, because I didn't really know any of the girls. I knew one girl that was there. I'm still not quite sure how I got invited to go to that by the lady that was hosting it, because I'd never met her before in my life. But, like, God must have been speaking to her or something. Like, God worked the craziest miracle of all time and healed me.
I wish, I'm trying to be more, like, just listening. Because I believe that he could use us to do good things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so hard for me to listen for him to, you know. But I'm just going to say a fat thank you to whoever that is. I don't know their names, but just thanks. Like, man, that's beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I am also, you know, kind of, a lot of Christians that believe therapy is, like, bad and therapy doesn't do anything for you. And I'm here to say that God used therapy. He healed me, like, on the spot there. But I don't know if the depression would have stayed away if I hadn't gone to therapy, let go of a bunch of stuff, and learned techniques to keep depressed. Because there is times when it kind of tries to come back, and I have to be like, no, like, you gotta stay away.
The thing about therapy is it doesn't just heal you. It's like, I think so many people have the misconception that therapy, you just go to therapy, you go there for a couple times, and then you're just better. Right. The thing about therapy is it's the therapy and the therapist is not what heals you. They just give you the tools to deal with it. Going to this lady and talking about your feelings. I love to talk about my feelings, by the way. Yeah, so that's not gonna, I mean, it helps, right? But it's not just gonna heal you. You have to, like I said.
You have to put in work. Yeah.
You have to,
You can't just expect someone else to, like, come
just do
all your healing for you. Like, you have to be willing to put in effort, because therapy can be hard. You know, it's basically where you go to learn more about yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which is always a good thing to do, but it can be hard.
Yeah.
And scary.
Also, just props to all the therapists out there. I couldn't do it. My goodness, but...
They be doing the Lord's work.
They do be doing that. So you said it hasn't really came back?
No. Like I said, there's times when it kind of tries to, and I have to, you know, pray it away and take some steps.
Get away from me, Satan. Like, no, bro.
Right? Yeah. Right?
And,
you know, I have to put in work and take care of myself.
Right.
And take care of my mental health. You know? Yeah. That's just something we all gotta do.
Yeah. Well, some of us don't realize we have to do that.
Well, I'm here to tell you.
You gotta.
If you want your life to be better and you want more joy in your life, you're gonna have to learn more about yourself and why you do the things you do and why you feel the way you feel. And it's hard, but it's worth it. Oh my goodness. I mean, I'm living my best life. I am so happy. And if I wouldn't have put in the work... And if I wouldn't have, like, asked God for help and asked other people for help, I wouldn't have survived.
Yeah. I was... can I say something really fast? I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm just mentioning this because I'm sure there's a lot of people who feel like this. I was talking to somebody the other day, and he was talking about his depression, and, like, so he basically said, it's just gonna be like this. Yeah. Like, how you feel.
Yeah,
like
it's completely hopeless.
Like, he said, this is me. This is who I am.
Right.
And he hurts other people to make himself feel better. And he's like, I can't change. Like, that's just who I am. I hurt people. It's just what I do.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, man, I don't know. I didn't really know what to say in the moment. I think I said something like, I mean, I kind of went off. I was like, you know what, little boy, you got it. Because he's Mennonite.
Right.
And I don't think he really believes in therapy at all. He doesn't think that it can help him. But you got to try. You got it. Because if you don't do something now,
right,
it doesn't matter what age you are. It's never too late to try.
Exactly.
Like, your life can always be enriched if you just make an effort. You try. Like, you got to want to do better. You can't just say, accept it. Well, you can. It's a really bad idea. You can't just,
because then you hurt other people.
But there are other ways to do it, much more healthy ways, where it's not gonna, because I know you can't just hurt people like that and just feel good about yourself. So right. There's other ways to do it where you don't keep hurting people and you don't keep hurting yourself. Like, your life can be so enriched if you just pray about it. You go to therapy. Like, therapy is expensive, though.
Right.
I'm not even doing therapy.
But, yeah. But, like, if you can't afford therapy, God will meet you there.
Yeah.
Like, he's, wherever you are, God's going to meet you there. And he's going to provide you with whatever you need to become the best version of you.
Yeah.
And to get closer to him. Like, you just got to ask for it. And then be open to it when God does send opportunities, yeah. You know? But there's never an excuse for hurting other people.
No.
Like, I was as depressed as someone can be. And I was never out there taking it out on other people. I was never hurting other people to make myself feel better. Like, there's no excuse for that. I understand why some people do it, but that does not make it okay.
And it's terrifying. To make those first few steps forward to, like, to healing. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most terrifying things.
Yes. Ever. Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, you got to step out and you got to realize, like, I can be somebody else. Like,
right.
I can be. And, like, you get so comfortable in that space almost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When I first started therapy, I reached the point where I realized, I don't know if I want all of this depression to leave because it has been with me my entire life.
It's familiar.
Yes, it's familiar. It's always been here. It's what I know. Yeah. It's who I am. I'm not sure if I want to leave it behind because who am I then?
Yeah,
like you said, it's scary taking those first steps and leaving behind the parts of you that are not helping you.
Yeah. And healing is not just something, like, just happens. And this is going to sound, everybody in the world that you've ever talked to about a situation like this, they'll say this right here. Healing takes time. And it does. Like,
it does.
It's not just going to happen. Like I said, put in the effort. You got to want to be better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do believe that you can get out of depression. I don't necessarily think it's a choice that you make. You don't just wake up one day.
Yeah, people don't choose to be depressed.
Yeah, you just don't wake up one day and say, I think I'll be depressed today. You know, like, go by. I don't know. That's right. Crazy.
Yeah, if you're willing to put in some work on yourself, God will meet you there. And he will help you. And he will even do some of the work for you. If he needs, like...
He's not expecting you to do it all by yourself.
Exactly.
Do you have anything more you want to say?
Get therapy.
We have to do it. You have to lean back in your seat and flex when you say that.
Get therapy.
Go get them bands, kid. I want to say something very Andrew Tate-ish.
Please don't.
We're not glorifying that man. I don't like Andrew Tate a bit. Actually, I do. I do kind of like him. Some things he says, it's like...
Anybody can say good things. Anybody.
Now, what were the words of wisdom that just came out of that mouth? Goodness. Even Liz can say good things sometimes.
Liz says good things a lot of times.
I don't have lash so hard. I need to look at myself in the mirror.
I'm also very lucky that I had Ruby, my older sister Ruby, in my life.
Queen.
She really helped carry me through that year or so where I was just as low as someone can be.
Well, yeah, it's so good to have people like that around you.
Oh, yeah. I pity everyone who does not have Ruby in their life because she's just one of the strongest people I know.
Like, what are you doing with your life if you don't have a Ruby?
Right? Like, you poor soul. Ruby, just, she's got these strong shoulders, both physically and metaphorically. And she will just hoist you up on her shoulders and carry you when you cannot carry yourself. I don't know if I'll ever even know how much she did for me.
She is a blessing.
But you know what can sometimes go right along with depression is anxiety.
Period, sis.
And I know that you've had some anxiety.
Crippling anxiety, to be more exact.
Yes.
To be more clear. No, what's the word I'm looking for here? Yes.
Exact works.
Yeah.
So can you, like, describe your anxiety a little bit? Like, what was it like?
Well, I had a little bit of depression as well. Not as bad as the anxiety. I have, like, an over-functioning nervous system. Like, it's insane.
Yes.
Like, and I think some of that has to do with, and I don't even know if this is going to make sense, but in my head, this is where some of my anxiety comes from. So I don't even know if mom and dad realized they did it or not, but they kind of, like, they needed us kids to perform.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And, like, I say that metaphorically and really. No, I don't know. Like, I think And just, like, it was always, like, you know, man, sorry, I'm getting distracted here.
So, in my family, it was a little bit, like, you have to perform, you have to look like you're a perfect, happy family all the time when you're out and about, you know?
Yeah, and if you...
Was it a little bit like that with your family? Or is this a different thing?
I think another thing that made it really bad, and I'm not going to rant again, but... Yeah, and I think that's another thing, because if you didn't just do everything just so, like the next day, the whole community would know about it. So it's
right.
So serious anxiety from that. You gotta, and me, I've always been more of a free spirit. Like, I don't really care about what other people think, but my parents did, and I care about them. So I wanted to make them happy, and I wanted them to be, you know. I wanted them to be proud of me.
Right.
So I would try my best to, like, just do everything the way they want. But I always failed a lot because...
Because they were never happy with anything.
Well, yeah. And also, like, at the end of the day, I don't know. You and shut up for more than 5 minutes. Like, I always have to be saying something a little bit insane. I don't know. Anyways.
So, and I love that about you.
So I think that's kind of where it began. Mostly.
Right.
Like, just the feeling to always please the people around
yep.
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I don't do that, I'm going to disappoint somebody. And I don't like to disappoint people. Like, it's...
Right.
I would rather have somebody be mad at me than disappointed. Like, I cannot handle disappointment. So, that. And also just trauma. Like, from my sexual assaults and stuff. The first time I got sexually assaulted, it was in the woods.
Right.
At dark. And so, the woods gives me... Like, well, it's been better now. It gives me, like, severe anxiety at night.
Like, panic attack anxiety. Wow, that's rough.
Yeah, like, it's not happened for a minute, because mostly I try to avoid the woods at dark.
Right.
But,
same.
Yeah, like, I think most people know what a panic attack feels like. My whole body would just, like, I'm shaking right now talking about it. Like, it
right.
just, I don't, like, your whole body just, like, shuts down.
Yeah, you can't breathe. You can't.
In my mind, when I'm having a panic attack, it feels like every object in what around me, whatever it is just like flying around. I don't know. It's the most surreal experience ever, and it's scary. So I haven't had one for a while because I, you know, obviously I feel safe now.
Right.
But
thank goodness.
I have something to say about that as well. Like when I left home and I was around safe people, that was also a source of anxiety for me. Because it always felt like something, like nothing can be this good.
Right.
Nobody can be this safe. Like,
oh, yeah.
Somehow, they're in their mind, they're waiting to do something. Like, they're waiting to hurt me somehow.
Mm.
So that was, just like constantly looking around you, just feeling like somebody is trying to hurt you, you know?
That's so sad.
When I was, 16-ish, I had... terrible anxiety. I remember this one night. I keep jumping around. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I have anxiety. I can't even talk. I have anxiety right now talking about this. The first time I ever had a panic attack, and I didn't know what it was, and I don't even know what caused it.
Right.
I was in the car with a bunch of my friends. We were cruising. Yay. Anyways, I was with my cousin actually. We were just everything was fine. Ha ha ha. Whatever. And I felt just fine.
Right.
All of a sudden. I felt like this doom. Like, it just felt like everybody in the car was waiting to just attack me. I don't even know how to describe it, really. And, like, it felt like something was coming for me.
Oh, yeah. I've felt that before.
Just, like, insane feelings. And keep in mind, this has never happened to me before.
Right.
So, I'm like, what is going on? Like, and so I'm immediately start shaking and crying. Like, I don't know what's happening. Because I didn't have control of my emotions. I was just...
Right.
And I was so embarrassed because I was in the car with my crush at that time. And so I'm sitting there crying like a little baby. Like, what's happening to me?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like, it was pretty bad. It just felt like it was coming at me. And then all of a sudden, it exploded. Like, everything fell apart. And there were, like, 4 people in the backseat. So everybody was, crammed in together.
Oh, no.
And I immediately just start, like, hitting at them, like, get out. Like, something has to give. Everybody's, like, freaking out. They don't know what's going on. Because 2 minutes earlier,
right.
I was just fine. And so everybody's got out of the car, and I just start running. Like, just take off running. Like, I couldn't figure out what was going on with me. And my best friend at the time, she came over, and she was helping me. Like, she had no idea what was going on either, but she tried to help me calm down. And I just sat in the middle of the road, just, like, crying. Like, I couldn't figure out. And then nobody spoke about it. We went home. Nobody talked about it. Everybody was...
they did not know what to say.
Everybody was so quiet. You could just hear a pin drop in the room. Like, it was in the car, even, which is worse.
That's crazy.
But then the next day, my cousin texts me, and he's like, what in the world happened last night? And I didn't remember. Like, I didn't know that this happened, but apparently I was saying, like, he's coming for me. Like, he's coming for me.
Oh,
like,
wow.
He's gonna get me. He's like, I'm trying to figure out what happened last night. I didn't know what was going on. I thought maybe somebody was trying to hurt you in the backseat. He's like, I didn't know what was happening. He's like, who is he? And why is he coming for you? Like, bad. Anyways.
Wow.
And still, I still had no words to put to it. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't even know what a panic attack was.
Yeah.
Like, I've never even heard of a panic attack. And
that's so scary. Like, this thing just happens to you and you have no idea what's going on. Did it feel a little bit like you were just crazy?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I thought that I was, like, actually insane.
Wow.
And then, so my cousin was, like, freaking out about it. He's like, Liz, what happened? Like, I just don't know. Like, if something happened, like, I'm sorry. After that night, there was, like, two other people who weren't my best friend and my cousin.
Right.
They never asked to hang out with me again.
Wow.
Anyways. That's
not cool.
My first experience with a panic attack. And after that one, it almost felt like it opened the doors for more anxiety.
Yep.
Because I guess I finally let myself feel it. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I finally let it happen. Then after that, I started, like, everything made me nervous. My senses were at an all-time high. I was constantly overstimulated. Like, just everything pissed me off. Just made me angry. And at the time, we had, like, 6 babies at our house. So, the kids were crying and, like...
the overstimulation. Yeah. Wow.
And then I started to hurt myself. I started burning myself with a curling iron, which was crazy.
Damn, girl.
Like, every time I would get mad about something, and at that point, I got mad a lot because everything was overstimulating. Right. I would get mad and just, like, I couldn't control it. So, I would just, like, go upstairs to my room, plug in my curling iron, and just start, like, burning my skin.
Bro, that is crazy.
All over the place. Just, like, I would burn my legs, my arms, my neck. Like, it was insane. Until, it was all going good, until Mom found a burn, and she said, what's that, Liz? And I said, it's not your business, Mom. And she said, I'm taking your curling iron away from you. So we did that. She knew.
Probably for the best.
She knew. Like, my mom is a very smart person. She's like, she knew what was going on. So, yeah, she took that away from me, hit all the ladders for me. Crazy. Yeah, I don't know. And then after that, I kind of fell into depression. My first boyfriend broke up with me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so then I feel like just with everything already and then that happening, because I thought I loved him, right? All the stuff. Yuck. And then, so I fell into depression. Depression. It wasn't as bad as yours, but it got pretty dark.
Didn't you lose, like... 100 pounds.
I lost probably not 100 pounds. I don't think.
Were you were down to like 100 pounds or something?
I was down to 100 pounds,
which
is crazy for me because I've always like from when I was like 12 till 16, I was like 140 pounds. Like, anyways, I lost a ton of weight. I couldn't even speak to people. I remember my grandpa after this all happened, like a week or two later, he came over and he told my mom and dad, he's like, gotta help her. Like, he never has said anything like that before. I mean, it's easier to just ignore it, right?
Right.
I couldn't even talk to people. I couldn't get out of bed. Every time I would, like, try to say something to somebody, I would just cry, you know? And then, after that happened for about, you know, a while, I had somebody in my life who told me before this all happened that she tried to kill herself. And she said she did it by overdosing on painkillers. And I was like, fun. That seems like the least painful way to go. Because I was pretty weak. I did not, you know, I had no mental strength. Like, none.
Yeah.
I, you know, the littlest thing happened and I would just immediately think like, it's my time to go.
Yes.
I got nothing.
Yep.
Anyways.
I feel that.
So I was like, all right, this is what's going to happen. Like, I'm going to go get some painkillers. And I took like 5. And I was like, I guess I'm too iconic to leave now, you know? No, I'm kidding. I got really scared. Like, I was scared of death.
Yeah.
Freak out. Like, I wanted to go, but I didn't. And also, like the thing that you said about, like, thought that if you killed yourself, you would go to hell.
Right.
I didn't want to go to hell. I was like
right? Like, better to live miserable for, like, 80 years than go to hell.
And I think that night, that was a turning point for me. Like, I didn't, I didn't have therapy because that wasn't an option for me.
Right.
Really. It was either you go to counseling with an old man who doesn't actually have his license or...
Right.
Or you do nothing.
Just tells you that you need to be better and be happier and do more things to make your parents happy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that night I realized like, man, I'm like, I got issues a lot.
Right.
I don't necessarily think I changed the course of my life. I like quit hurting myself. And
thank goodness.
Well, I guess it was like a slower, like it kind of just, it slowed down, I guess I should say, instead of it just stopped. But I found other ways, like my friend, one of my other friends, she told me, like, she used to hurt herself. She told me to put, like, a rubber band on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I felt like I was going to hurt myself, just, like, flick the rubber band. And that helped a ton. Yeah, I was just, you know, I was in bad shape, but, yeah, it got more, like, I learned how to control it better.
Right.
Than, like, yeah, so.
Well, I'm glad for that. And I'm glad you didn't
overdose.
Take more than 5 pills.
That was the lamest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm embarrassed to tell that story. When I was like 6, my brothers made me mad, so I tried to hang myself.
What?
But do you know what? It was so
what?
When I think about it, it was so funny.
That is outrageous.
Well,
tell me more.
Well, we go home from school.
Little 6-year-old you knew how to hang yourself? I mean, I guess not, because...
Well, I didn't succeed at all. And I
wouldn't
have succeeded. But we got home from school, and my brother tried to make me do the dishes, and I was
mad. How dare he?
I was so mad.
How dare you have to do the dishes?
And so, I went into my room. I had these pink frilly curtains.
Of course you did. I love it.
It's so embarrassing. So I tied the end of the curtain around my neck. I'm sitting there. I keep trying to, like, fall down. And the like, it wasn't, obviously, it wasn't tied tight enough. And so I just started making outrageous sounds. Just like, just like, and so both of my brothers, because mom wasn't at home. So both of my brothers came in there. And they're like, they just start laughing. Which... Okay, I think that was, like, kind of an inappropriate response.
Yes. Like, I mean, I know we're laughing right now. A 6-year-old trying to hang herself, that's not normal. That is a cry for help.
Well, I was dramatic. Dramatic.
Well, like, okay, there's dramatic, and then there's a 6-year-old trying to hang herself with her pink frilly curtains. That's not dramatic. That's, I don't even know what to say about that.
Well, it's the idea. It's not just the fact that my mind went there.
Right?
Just like, okay, if they're going to be mean to me, I'm just going to kill myself. Like,
that's crazy.
Girl, calm yourself. Anyways, those were the only two suicide attempts, I guess. Like, yeah. I don't think that I would have ever really done it.
Right.
It wasn't like a thing where somebody intervened and said, you're not going to do this. It was just like, I thought about it. And then I kind of tried, clearly I still need therapy a little bit, but...
I mean, don't we all?
We all do. That's true. But, yeah, I'm much better. Like, my panic attacks, I haven't had one in probably 4 months. And, like, I feel like my nervous system has settled down a lot.
That's
just
good.
Like, I don't get as angry. And I, like, because I don't go to therapy, so it has to be, it was God, 100%. Like,
yeah.
He just really intervened there. He just said, nah, girl, you got to get a hold of yourself. So,
I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you let him.
I don't know. Anxiety is not something to laugh about. It's not, like, it's a serious, serious thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it can be just completely debilitating.
Yeah. No, for real. But, like, I didn't have anxiety in the... like, normal way, okay? Like, in public settings, I was great in public settings.
Yeah.
Like, I had social skills out the window. Like, I can talk to anybody.
Right.
So it's not like people scared me, really. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, really. Yeah, I don't really know. Just, like people didn't necessarily, as long as they didn't get too close to me.
Right.
Like, if I was just in a public setting where I could talk to them and then I would never see them again for the rest of my life, like, I'm good. It's more of, like, when... I get really close to people, like, and mostly men, when I get close to men.
Right.
Like, Mark, and them scares me.
Right.
And obviously, like, it takes me a minute to trust a man.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, every man you met until you moved to Tennessee hurt you.
Well, in one way or another.
In one way or another.
Yeah. And I'm sure that some people will say, like, that's not even anxiety. But it was.
Yeah.
It was crippling anxiety, just not in the way that most people have it. Yeah. And I hate when people put labels on things like depression, anxiety, and say, if it doesn't look like this, it's not. That's right. Not what it is.
Everybody has their own experience. Yeah. Everyone's unique.
Yeah.
Everyone has their struggles, and they all deserve our empathy and our help.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You should never let anyone tell you that. I remember the thing that I was going to say earlier. Can I say it?
Oh, yeah. Fast? Tell me.
So I think, because I've heard so many people say, and it makes me sick to even say it myself, but like, if you're saying something about something you're going through, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying like, oh, I'm stressed about this. Like, I'm stressed that I'm not going to be able to do this or this because I don't have the money, whatever.
Right.
And then somebody else says, what about them kids in Africa? Like,
yes.
So that makes me really, really angry. When
I feel that.
Because here's what I think. Every single person's experiences are so valid. And you do not let somebody tell you. My point is this is what I'm getting at. Just because you didn't go through something super traumatic as a child, we all have trauma. Every single one of us.
Right.
Maybe it's not as, like, air quotes, serious as what this other person's was. Do not let a single person tell you that your experience wasn't bad enough for you to feel like this. That is so messed up. In every single way that I can possibly think of, is so messed up. Nobody chooses to be depressed. Nobody chooses to be anxious. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you fell off your bike when you were 5 and so now you have PTSD. It doesn't matter if you were sexually assaulted. It doesn't matter. Everybody's experiences. Pain is pain. Exactly. Like, I don't know. That's something I'm very passionate about.
Yeah.
If I ever hear somebody say something like that, and I have, but I wasn't quite strong enough and quite brave enough to say anything about it, but like, I would be now.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I can't do.
Yeah. It's not okay to invalidate somebody's experiences and somebody's pain like that.
Yeah.
Everybody. Pain is pain. If you have pain, you deserve empathy and you deserve help.
And I think the reason I said that is because maybe there's somebody that listens to our podcast and we're always talking about how we want to, like, if somebody can relate, that's like, we want just to attract people who can relate and can, you know, reciprocate. No, I don't know
somebody who can relate and who can find some healing in our, in what we have to say.
So technically what I'm saying here, if just because you didn't necessarily go through what we did, maybe you went through more, maybe you went through less, okay? It doesn't mean that you're not dealing with some of the stuff that we're dealing with now.
100%.
So technically, don't let nobody invalidate them feelings, girl. Like, you're incredible. You matter. Your opinion matters. Your pain matters.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you let one person tell you it doesn't, I'll punch you so hard.
More like punch the person who said
that. No, punch you.
Okay, fine. I'm so glad that you remembered you were going to say that, because that was some truth right there. Do we have a lot to be grateful for? Yes, but that doesn't mean that we're not going through something.
I feel like I went on that whole rant with somebody else before, and I'm trying to remember if it was you, because that would be really embarrassing.
I don't think it was me.
Well, so yeah, don't let nobody do that to you.
Your pain matters.
It does.
Love that. We should like make a reel and put it on Instagram and be like, your pain matters.
Let's do it.
Yes, let's.
Anyways, so yeah, anxiety.
I'm really glad that you're on the other side of that now, and that God has helped pull you through that, and that you put in the work to get through that.
I still have some level of anxiety, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not just going to go away like that. But I think
it takes time.
Yeah. Not you turn my own words around against me. That was crazy. Anyways, I still am constantly shaking my leg in social situations. Because
I'm doing it right now.
The way I felt your feet down there just kicking at mine is crazy. Get away from me. Anyways. So, did I say?
Yes.
Did I explain my anxiety well enough?
Yes, you did.
I was anxious while talking about my anxiety.
Yes. You did a wonderful job, Lizzie. I'm very proud of you. I'm proud of you for saying all that.
Thanks. I've never
Because it was really hard for you to say all that. And so I'm really proud of you for doing it. It speaks to your love for people that you're willing to put yourself through this anxiety-ridden half hour of talking about your anxiety because you think it can help somebody else.
Yeah.
It's truly a testament to your love for people.
And back at you.
Thank you.
Back at you. Do you want me to say all that to you?
No.
Because I'm thinking it in my head right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the whole time, because I was anxious, I was just kind of jumping around and just like,
right.
And I don't know if it made any sense, but.
That's how I felt when I was talking about my depression.
But your depression story made like sounded like great.
Okay. And, well, that's what I thought about what you were saying. So I think.
Oh, she did.
I think we're good. I think we're like helping each other out here, you know?
Okay. And I love how you're such an attentive listener.
Well, thank you.
Like, damn. You were staring into my soul.
Everybody deserves to be heard. Something I believe with all my heart.
I also
do. So I try to listen well.
You do. You're a great listener. Anyways.
Is there anything else we should be talking about today?
Yeah. I'm ready to be done.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
You did? Okay. And it's like kind of sunny outside. Maybe we can go to the
swamp. I'm good.
Should we pray really fast?
Yeah.
Let's pray.
Yep. Let's pray for these people.
Okay. Are you going to cut mine out?
No.
You're going to cut mine out.
I said no.
Reach over here at my hands really fast. Are you praying or should I pray?
Go for it.
What if I do it wrong?
There's no wrong way to do it. But also, guys, if you want to like connect with us and talk to us, you need to go find us on Instagram. I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. Our Instagram handle is Why We Left, and you need to come find us on Instagram so you can chat with us.
Come find us or we'll come find you. Let me say it in a more menacing voice. Find us or we'll find you.
Yeah. I'm scared now and you weren't even talking to me.
I feel like Damon Salvatore right now. It's crazy.
I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do. You just watched it like 10 minutes ago.
Never mind. I do know who that is. Okay. I was trying to forget, but let's pray over these people. Go for it, Lizzie.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning or this after whatever time of the day it is. And we just thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us. Just thank you for allowing us to speak and just putting your words in us. Just thank you for sending whoever's listening to this our way. Thank you for just being so constant in our lives. And we just pray that you would show yourself to anyone who is struggling right now. Just show yourself to them. Show them that you are a loving God and you care. And you really, really want them to come to you. And just thank you for Judy. I love her so much, dude. She's great. And just thank you for this friendship that we have. Thank you for giving us the peace in our hearts to do this. And just again, just pray for all the people out there that are listening to this and even the ones that aren't listening. Just send them our way, Lord, or just show them something that can help. Find them a good therapist and just pray that you protect everybody. You would just shield them from all the evils in the world, Lord. And that's all I got for today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
That was a crazy prayer.
Yep, we'll see y'all next time.
Okay, see